Today on Hardwired.
Government and law enforcement are there to restrain these different manifestations of lawlessness. That's why we have the police. That's why we have the military. That's why we have the government to restrain. That's why we have laws to restrain the evil that would overwhelm us immediately without God-ordained law.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. One of the questions I get as a pastor, probably more than most, is how do I respond to the government when they require things of me that go against my conscience? Of course, this question has arisen due to the COVID pandemic and the resulting mandates to be vaccinated, to wear masks, to social distance, and so on. And as we continue our rich journey through Romans, we're going to find that Paul deals with this very thing in chapter 13. So let's get right to part two of the message, The Role of Government. We're in part 13, and Paul's going to deal with some really pressing, crucial issues that I think have brought a lot of confusion to Christians. Part 13, the issue of authority. And as soon as I say the word authority, an image immediately comes into your mind, something like police, the military, the government, or mom, dad, a boss. But the word authority doesn't tend to give us a warm fuzzy on the inside when we hear it. The reason that we even need government is because of the fallen nature of man. Society without government would be impossible with just leaving it up to man and his fallen nature. That's why there's government, because of the fallen nature of man. The authority of the state is grounded in the will of God. To resist rulers is to resist what God has appointed, and it will result in incurring judgment. Now, here's the exception, because I know what you're thinking. Well, what about wicked rulers? What about wicked laws? Here's the exception. The exception to this principle would be that time when the state requires an action that runs directly against the written word of God or the Christian conscience that is grounded in his revealed will. Do you want to be free from fear of the person in authority, the police, the military, whatever? Then do what is right, and they will commend you. They won't fool with you if you do what is right. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, you need to be afraid, because they're going to hunt you down, they're going to arrest you, and they're going to put you in jail, because they do not bear the sword or the jail key in vain. He is God's servant. And interesting, God calls, for instance, the police his servant. Now, and again, I know exactly what many of you are thinking, but what about when the police abuse their authority? You can't take an exception and destroy a rule, all right? Exceptions don't destroy the principle. The principle stands, because there's an exception with every principle. But you don't destroy the principle for the exception. The exception never does away with the principle, okay? Therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of our conscience. If you don't obey the law, then it's going to bother your conscience. And if it doesn't, you need to really pray about that, because it should. Now, when functioning as God intended, the military, the police force, and other law enforcement agencies are God's servants to do what? Restrain evil. Now, interestingly, the word for servants comes from the same Greek word we translate into liturgy. It's used in Hebrews 1:14, for instance, to describe the duties of the angels.
So God is telling us that law enforcement discharges a God-ordained duty. Not all rulers, admittedly, serve God in their private lives. I'm going to venture to say most of them probably don't. But regardless of whether they do or not, they discharge functions that are God-ordained. God will deal with them, and they will answer to God for their private lives. But what they're doing, what they're executing, the law, is God-ordained to restrain evil in a society that would go into anarchy overnight if they weren't there. Now, as to government, Paul is saying that government is responsible for national safety. Look what he says. He's God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. This means they've got to protect the community. They are to resist criminal elements in the community. Hence, rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those only who do wrong. The only people who should live in fear of law enforcement are lawbreakers. It's that simple. The Bible warns that the last days, well, I've really thought about this a lot in the last year and a half, with all that we've seen going down in our culture. This warning of Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, iniquity in the last days, iniquity is going to abound. Now, the word iniquity comes from the Greek word that means lawlessness. Okay? Jesus said, before I return, you're going to see an increase in lawlessness in societies all over the world. They're going to go lawless. Now, there's four very important words in the Greek New Testament used to describe outbursts of lawlessness. And I want us to catch these. Hope you've got a pen and you're writing, because I'm going to give you some really good notes here. All right, a brief scan of them, the four words for lawlessness, will help us understand why it's so crucial that nations have strong governments dedicated to protecting the community from the free expression of criminal passions. All right? The first word is komos. That's a Greek word for lawless, komos. And it is used to describe a troop of intoxicated revelers who, at the close of an orgy, with garlands on their heads and torches in their hands, with shouts and songs, wander through the streets with insult and wanton outrage for everyone they meet. That's komos. Can you believe the Bible is so accurate? Does that ring a bell? Did anybody think Mardi Gras as I went over that? Did that occur to you? How about gay pride parades or obscenity, lewdness, horrible language, sin, perversion is flaunted in the face of the world? You know what that is? Komos. That's lawlessness. Mardi Gras, same thing. City-sanctioned lawlessness. That's what it is. Komos. The second word for lawlessness is ekthra. Ekthra. And that's translated hatred or enmity. And in the ancient world, there were three kinds of enmity, three kinds of ekthra. There was ekthra between class and class. In other words, class envy. We got that out there now? You better know we do. And it's being stoked and inflamed intentionally by people all over our nation. Then there was enmity between the Greeks and the barbarians. That is, there was ekthros between the races. Yeah? And is that going on now? Oh, you better know it is. And there's a name for it, ekthros. The Bible described it before it ever showed up in our country. And there was enmity between man and man. And these enmities are flourishing today in the so-called enlightened 21st century. Not so enlightened. Matter of fact, if you were to ask me philosophically, and I would go theologically speaking, if you were to say, describe our current time, 21st century, I don't think that I would be far off base to say we're in another dark ages. We're in another dark ages. We've thrown the Bible out. We're believing superstitions and myths and fables all the time. Gender myths and fables, sexual myths and fables. We're believing philosophical myths and fables. I believe evolution is a myth. It's a fable. There's a reason it's called the theory. of evolution, okay? To me, the 21st century, in all honesty, folks, is anything but enlightened. Dark ages, I think we're in a type of another dark ages. The third word for lawlessness in the New Testament is asotia. And asotia means abandon. That's another word for lawlessness. It's used in Luke 15 to describe the prodigal son, who we are told wasted his substance with riotous or abandoned living, lawless living. Asotia. We're filled, our nation is filled with people living an asotia lifestyle, a lifestyle of abandon to the worst of sins. The prodigal threw everything away. He went into riotous living. He gave up his inheritance. He exercised no restraint whatsoever, no regard for decency, no thought for the future. Asotia, that's lawlessness. And that's a type of lawlessness. Now, the fourth word and the last one is anomia. Anomia. Now, nomia is the Greek word for law. And when you put an A, an alpha, an A in front of a word, it negates the word. It turns it into a negative. So when you see anomia, it means lawless. Instead of law, it's no law. Lawless. Or having contempt for the law. Did you catch that? Contempt for God-ordained law is this word that is closest to the theme of Romans 13 that we're looking at tonight. It's this word Jesus used in Matthew 24, verse 12. This is the word he used to describe the increasing lawlessness that he predicted would abound in the last days. Government and law enforcement are there to restrain these different manifestations of lawlessness. That's why we have the police. That's why we have the military. That's why we have the government to restrain. That's why we have laws to restrain the evil that would overwhelm us immediately without God-ordained law.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple. To share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Have you noticed, and I know you've already thought of it as I go through this, that in virtually every walk of life, there now seems to be a breakdown of morals and a decline of respect for the law. A generation which has abandoned the Bible is now paying for its folly. For abandoning the Bible. We took the Bible out, what's in the schools now? We took the Bible out of schools, what's in them? Metal detectors. We took the Bible out and the commandments out, the commandments giving the revealed will of God, what's right and what's wrong, and what now is in the schools? Lawlessness, murder, pandemonium, crazy teaching, nutty teaching. Teaching instruction that really has nothing to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic. No, it is indoctrination, immoral indoctrination, theological indoctrination, gender indoctrination, anti-American indoctrination, Marxist indoctrination. It has flooded the schools because we took the Bible out, thinking that we were wise and didn't need God. That's lawlessness. And now we're paying the price. I never dreamed that I would be living in a day where whole cities, Seattle, Portland, Austin, Texas, Washington, LA, I could go through a list, literally voted in their city councils to defund God-ordained authority. How's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? That working out for you pretty good? Not what I'm reading. I'm reading that these cities that were foolish enough, can I say it, stupid enough, ignorant enough to defund God-given authority, the police, to remove guns from them, money from them, to cause many of them to have to quit and walk away, to leave whole sections of your city unpoliced? How's that working out for you? I know how it's working out. Crime has skyrocketed. Murders have gone off the charts. Cities are literally collapsing in their infrastructure because the police are not there. What we said was, God, we don't recognize your God-given authority. We don't recognize what you told us to do to protect ourselves, what you've given us. We're going to kick it out. But anytime you kick God out, you let the devil in. Now, I wonder how it's working out for Portland, Seattle, Austin. I've read the stats. They're all experiencing crime waves. Some of these cities are literally calling for more police. But wait a minute, you defunded them. God help America. God help us. Because professing ourselves to become wise, we have become fools. The bottom line is, if it's this bad with government authority, if it's this bad with it, then what would it be without it but utter chaos? All right, we're going to move on. I could land right here the rest of this time, but I got to move on. Next, we come to the whole issue of taxes. I'm not going to spend long on it. I know that's a bad taste in your mouth as soon as I say it, but we need to hear what he says. Verses 6-7, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. He says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. The authorities in government and law enforcement need to be paid. And that's what taxes were originally for, to pay for the military, to protect us abroad, and to pay for protection within. This is one of the reasons for taxes. Paul does not enter into the rights, wrongs, and abuses of the taxation system. He simply tells believers that a nation's leaders have a right to monetary support. Now, so far, Paul has addressed the God-invested authority of the state, submission to rulers, the payment of taxes, and respect for the public office as ordained by God. Now, next, he describes the Christian's obligations to all people. Now, here he's going to get really practical again and very interpersonal, relational. He's going to talk about how we're called to love. Verse 8 through 10, let no debt remain outstanding. Get out of debt. That's the teaching of the Bible. Get out of debt. Except for the continuing debt to love one another. That's what we're indebted to do. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, the Mosaic law, the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If you love people, you'll never break the commandments towards them. You won't slander them. You won't commit adultery and break up a marriage. You won't bear false witness and hurt them. You won't break one of the commandments. The loving one another is doing the sum total of all the commandments. The need to love is supremely important in view of the hate-filled and godless generation in which we live. Since love does no wrong to a neighbor, it's the fulfilling of all the Mosaic law. And then he says in verse 11, he's now looking down the tunnel of time prophetically to the end of the age. And he says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Amen. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let's behave decently, Christians. Let's behave decently. As in the daytime, the world's walking around in the nighttime of spiritual darkness, but we're not in that darkness. We're in the daytime of spiritual light. So, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Verse 14, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like Jesus, walk like Jesus, think like Jesus, love like Jesus, be patient like Jesus, emulate Jesus, ooze Jesus. We are mirrors that are to reflect Christ to a dying world. He says, don't always be thinking about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Now, the world is living as though human history is going to go on forever. The world thinks, oh, evolution, you know, we're evolving. We were birthed in evolution. We're here because of evolution. And we're going to keep on evolving to the next level and next level. And it's just going to go on ad infinitum. But that's not true. That's not true. Peter predicted this attitude in society existing before the return of Christ. Here's what he says, 2 Peter 3, verse 3, as we come to the close tonight. First off, you need to know that in the last days, mockers are going to have a heyday. They will mock. And what are they going to say in their mocking? So, what's happened to the promise of Jesus coming? Well, you know, where's the return of the Jesus you believe in? Then they're going to say, our ancestors are dead, they're buried, and everything's going on just like it did from the very first day of creation. Nothing has changed. It's the same old, we're all in the same old cycle. Life is going to keep on cycling on and on, and it's never going to come to a close. There's not going to be some final end to the world as we know it. But the Christian knows God is in control of people and nations and is directing history to a predetermined end. And it's going to end. You know, at the end of all the older movies, when you watch, the older films, as soon as the last sentence is given by the actor, then this big, the end comes across the screen. You know, MGM, for instance, and then the end. And we know the movie's over, all right? The people of our day are going to believe that's never going to come as far as this world goes. But the Bible says there's going to come a the end. And the movie, life as we've known it, the world as we've known it, is going to be over. The end. Peter said, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. The universe is going to go away, pass away with a great noise. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, towards the end, Revelations 20 and 21, that God is preparing a brand new earth, a brand new heaven, a brand new Jerusalem. And he's going to make, Revelation says, all things new, because the old has passed away. The end. There's going to be a the end. And since the end is near, we're to rouse ourselves from sleep, says Paul. Every day brings us closer to that final day when all that we have anticipated in Jesus is going to become a reality. He's going to return. He's going to establish his millennial kingdom. It's going to be peace. He's going to rule the world with a scepter of righteousness. And there's going to be war no more. They'll beat their swords into plowshares. And the lion is going to lay down with the lamb. The devil's going to be bound. And there's going to be peace on earth finally and ultimately and only through Jesus Christ. So because the night is nearly over and the day is about to dawn, it's critical that we believers rid ourselves of the works of darkness, all of them. It's time to clothe ourselves with the weapons of light. Our conduct is to be decent and honorable. Isn't that a powerful chapter? I'll tell you, this series in Romans has been such a blessing to me. And aren't these last chapters of practical instruction just, gold nugget after gold nugget after gold nugget of wisdom for the believer?
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.